Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this March 28th, 2023. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good one out there. How you doing, Mel?
Oh, pretty good.
Good to hear. We're going to have some fun this morning. We got our National Day of Calendar coming up in a little bit. We're looking forward to getting into that. A little bit later, we've got five smells around the house Americans hate the most.
Ooh, that should be good.
Should be an interesting list. Somebody invented shoes that help you walk backwards or where you can walk backwards or something like that. I don't know.
What?
We got to look into that.
Yeah. Why are people walking backwards?
We also have 11 changes that airlines should make according to AI. Get into that a little bit later. Got that one coming up for you.
AI wants to be comfortable.
Yes, of course. Melissa sent us a great one. I don't know if we're gonna get to it at some point. Maybe we're gonna start off with it. Maybe we'll get to it at the end of the show. One way or another, it's a story about basically spoilers.
Oh,
yeah, it's a That Ain't Right story. And I've been waiting to get into this one with you, Melissa.
Yes.
That's going to be fun. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to getting into that. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will kick things off with our friend, Nakusa Mayor Dan Carlson and Howard Freeman. They are going to join us for Nakusa Walleye Days.
Yes, that'll be a fun event to talk about.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've heard great things over the weekend, heard a lot of people were having a good time at the event and enjoying themselves. I didn't hear much about any fish catching, but I did hear a lot of good times being had in the Nakusa area.
That's what counts.
Yeah, Nakusa Walleye Day is going strong right now. You can find out more by going to their Facebook page, and we'll, of course, be talking about it again in the 9 o'clock hour. Along with that, we got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. We'll see what other trouble we can get ourselves into. Melissa, how is it going in Abbotsford today?
Oh, it's going really good, actually. I've been having a good morning so far.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Yeah. How about you, James?
Not too bad. Didn't get a long night last night, but not bad this morning. Can't argue with the weather, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yes. No kidding.
I feel like if I don't touch on this, I'm going to spend the whole show with it in the on my mind and not being able to not be able to focus on trying to entertain people and trying to give you guys a good, genuine, positive start to the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that CBS News covered this. I want to touch on a couple of things that they did not, if that's cool with you, Melissa.
Yeah,
it's involving where I'm going with this,
yeah,
I imagine. Six people were killed at a private school in Nashville, including three kids, all 9-year-olds. The shooter also died after a shootout with police. It happened at a place called the Covent School, a few miles south of downtown, and it's a Christian school that does pre-K through sixth grade. Just a couple of other updates. The shooter, Audrey Hale, as I mentioned, was taken down by police. Someone called 911 at 10:13. By 10:27, it was all over. The whole thing lasted about 14 minutes. Police found Hale on the second floor. The two cops exchanged gunfire and ended it. They found two AR-style assault weapons, a handgun. At least two of the guns were purchased legally. Three 9-year-olds and three staff members were killed. The kids' names were Evelyn Dykehouse, William Kinney, and Haley Scruggs. Haley's dad is the senior pastor at the school's church. The three adults are 61-year-old Cynthia Peake, a substitute teacher, and 61-year-old Mike Hill, a custodian, and 60-year-old Catherine Kuntz, who was the head of the school. The shooter entered through a side door that was locked. Police said the door was shut open and then released security footage of it last night. They said that when cops showed up, Hale fired at them from a second-floor window. There has been some... And I hate to call them correspondents because they're not actually correspondents. They're just reading a sheet of paper that's in front of them or giving you an opinion. That is not news. Saying that the door was open and blaming it on an unlocked door and all this, that is false.
Mm-hmm.
A survivor at a different mass shooting jumped in during the news conference. Her name is Ashley Beasley. Her and her son survived a mass shooting last summer at a July 4th parade in Highland Park, Illinois. They just happened to be in Nashville.
Mm.
These are the odds of things happening nowadays.
Yeah.
It isn't just being a part of one, but being a part of multiples. Because it was the 129th mass shooting in the U.S. in the first 86 days of 2023. We have had more mass shootings than we have had days.
this year.
That's according to gunviolencearchive.org, a nonpartisan website that has nobody in their pocket. According to CNN, it was the 19th shooting at a school or university this year where at least one person was wounded. Gun fatalities recently passed car-related deaths to become the leading cause of deaths for kids in the U.S. Let me repeat that for the people in the back. Gun fatalities recently passed car-related deaths to become the leading cause of deaths for kids in the U.S. I'm done being patient with this subject. I'm done feeling numb about it. I'm done just acting like that this is just going to keep on happening. And we're so afraid of talking about the Second Amendment and offending people that we're not going to talk about this. Because if you hold the Second Amendment more dearly than children, miss me. You've lost me on as a human being.
Yeah.
This is on our watch, everybody. It doesn't matter if it happens in your zip code. It doesn't matter if you're a good law-abiding citizen with your firearm. None of that matters anymore. This is all on our watch. If you don't take any responsibility for this, if you don't feel any empathy on this, then what are you doing? Why are you a part of this whole thing we call life? Why are you a part of this? If you're okay with this, why are you a part of this whole thing? What are you doing? And if there's one last thing I can step on real quick, and then I promise we will get to some funny, we will get to some positive stuff, I promise. I personally have to look in the mirror and I have to decide, the next time I go into a voting booth, will I ever vote for anybody that does not give me their straight up opinion on how they feel about this subject? And if they are going to work towards a safer world where we are going to have smarter gun laws. Did you notice I did not say get rid of guns? Did you notice I didn't? I'm not trying to take away hunters' guns. I'm not trying to take away your guns, everybody. Don't turn off your radio. Nobody's trying to do that. Only an insane person or an idiot would tell you that we want to get rid of all guns. What we want to do is make the world safer. How do you do that? Well, I don't know. I can't imagine the one reason why anybody, please tell me why you need an AR-style assault rifle. And please, and you, hold up, before you tell me because the bad guys got them, the only way to get them out of the bad guys' hands is to get them out of everybody's hands that doesn't need them. Because you don't need them. Our soldiers need them. They need them. That's why they were invented, for war. Are you in war? No. And if you think you are horribly misled. Mm-hmm. There are no wars going on in this country. There is a battle happening. I don't use the word war lightly, so I'm not one of these people who likes to throw wars around, be with sporting events and things like that. I come from a soldier family. I understand what real war is to a degree. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this is a battle. This is a battle for our youth. This is not about gun laws anymore. This is not about you holding the Second Amendment close to you because you got to compensate for something or whatever. I don't know what it is. It's about them. It's about the kids. I'm almost to the point where other mass shootings, I can't worry about as much. Somebody shoots up a this or a that, I can't worry about it as much because I'm focused on the kids. I'm focused on these schools getting shot up and things like this happening. Melissa, the three of us yesterday were talking about this, and not even an hour later, a shooting happens. Mm-hmm. How are we supposed to do shows like this? How are we supposed to do any kind of live content and not talk about this stuff? And at the same time, keep moving forward.
We have to talk about it, because if we stay silent, we're part of the problem, because this needs to be addressed. We have to talk to our legislators. We have to talk to our representatives. We have to make them understand how vitally important this is, that we have, you know, our children are safe. The AP, in their article about this, they said that they're keeping a database, but the database does not include school shootings in which fewer than 4 people were killed, which have become far more common in recent years. The fact that they're not counting those, mm-hmm. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I encourage people to
contact your legislators.
Yeah, yeah. You know, let's all try to get on the right side of history on this one. Because whether you care or not, I don't know. I'd like to think a lot of us, enough of us do. That
Reach out to them.
Yeah.
James, I'd like to collaborate later today and put up a list on our Facebook page of numbers in our area for people to reach out to them directly so they don't even have to look it up. They can just come right to our Facebook page. Let's do that later today.
You see why she's the head of our news department? You see? That's stuff like that, ideas
well,
like that.
As easy as we can make it, because we need action on this, and the only way it's going to happen is if we use our voice, because we, the people, are the voice. We're the ones that make the laws if we talk to the people who make the laws. Yeah. But we have to tell them. We have to tell them what we want.
There is no segue, and there shouldn't be. But I do want to wrap the segment up on a positive note. And I did want to talk about this lady, an 80-year-old Alberta woman who has been regularly donating blood for nearly six decades. She earned the Guinness World Record for the most whole blood donated by a female.
That's wonderful.
Guinness World Records said Josephine McCulloch, 80 years old, began donating blood at the age of 22 in 1965.
Wow.
And in the years since, she has donated a total of 203 units of blood. A unit of blood is roughly equivalent to a pint. McCulloch said, McCulloch said her sister talked her into her first donation. I decided I would join her, and that was the beginning. McCulloch, whose blood type is the in-demand O positive, said she likes knowing her donations are helping others.
Yes.
Quote, I feel like I have it in me to give. I can share it to people that need it.
That's wonderful.
That's a beautiful story.
Every donation has the potential to help save three lives.
That's a beautiful. That's a beautiful stat right there, Melissa. To bring that, I'm glad you mentioned that. She says her sister was doing this first, and then she kind of got talked into it and everything. Do you ever let the sister live that down? Do you I broke a world record. What have you done? How much blood you donated?
But she's still giving her sister credit.
Yes,
which is awesome.
You know, sibling rivalry, though. You know?
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. But that is the thing you can do. You can get other people to join good causes just by telling them, hey, I'm doing this. Come along with me.
Mm-hmm. Well said. We'll take a break. We'll come back, get into our National Day of Calendar. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We're going to keep on moving, everybody, and get into our National Day of Calendar. It is, of course, March 28th, 2023. I did need a second to remember what day it was.
I don't blame you. March has really flown by, to be perfectly honest. I can't believe the month is almost over.
If you hear me, stretch out, March, it's because I'm trying to think of, is it the 23rd or is it the 24th? It is National Weed Appreciation Day.
Weed appreciation.
Yep. Now, hold on, Cheech and Chong. We're talking about that. We're talking about, is there more, is there?
Not the, Mary, what is it, Mary Jane?
Mary Jane, yes. I've heard that term in a lot. Is there anything more aggravating than working in the garden and finding yet another sprouting of weeds after you thought you got rid of them all? Seriously, weeds are just so incredibly annoying, and you're right to rip them out. Then afterwards, you can sit on your porch and enjoy dandelions that grow in your front yard, their bright yellow eyes turned into the sun, unless, of course, you are a little allergic to them like I am.
Oh, that's too bad.
National Weed.
I have something for you.
Ooh, okay. National Weed Appreciation Day reminds you that those dandelions are weeds too, along with numerous other plants that you don't mind growing in your yard.
But dandelions are a wonderful plant, actually. They're completely edible. They're great for bees and butterflies, and all the good insects we want in our yard. And James, I made a tonic of dandelion flowers that if you take a little bit of it every day, it will actually help to grow your immunity to the allergy.
Whoa.
Or help reduce your allergy to dandelions and pollen. Yeah.
I've never heard of something like that. That is wicked. Oh, I like that. Oh, I'll definitely try that.
All right.
That's pretty cool. I'm a little stunned by that. I've never heard of something that can do something. I've heard of things that kind of cover it. Or mask it or whatever, but I've never heard of anything that can help you kind of lessen it over time. That's pretty cool.
Well, think about how vaccines work. They expose you to the virus in little tiny doses the dead virus to help your body recognize it as not, as something that I don't know all the science of it because I'm not a doctor.
Gotcha.
That is kind of how it works.
But another interesting things about the weeds. There's chickweed, which believe it or not, is actually quite tasty and packed with vitamins. Mm-hmm. But most people just rip them out and throw them in the compost bin or burn them. Chicory is often considered to be a weed as well, though it's a pretty little plant with bright blue flowers. But it's a hugely popular drink in the South, especially in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I want to try that.
Chicory coffee is what they would make with that years and years ago, you know, before coffee beans were readily available as a coffee replacement.
Where does that come from? How did you know that? Where does that go? That's awesome. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Read a lot of books, James.
Yeah, right on. Reading's good. Read, people. That's a good one.
The thing to note, though, is if you use any pesticides or any, you know, insecticides or sprays in your yard, you need to be careful about harvesting from your yard. Mm-hmm. You don't want to ingest any of those chemicals.
Mm-hmm. Weeds are flowers, too, once you get to know them. A.A. Milan. It's a good quote.
And I got to tell you, when I moved into a house in Mauston, I was so excited to have flower beds. And so I went and pulled out all of these things that I thought were weeds. And my landlady, she was this wonderful little old lady. Her name was Eleanor. And she was very close to deaf. So you had to shout at her. Mm. And she laughed at me. She's like, well, you pulled out all the flowers and left all the weeds. Sure enough, I did. Because the one I missed grew into this like 8-foot tall, I don't even remember what they're called, but it's some kind of giant flower stalk that grows and you get all these big, huge, beautiful flowers all over it. Mm. I was so disappointed. I could have had like 20 of those along the backside of my house. Mm. And I pulled them all out. So make sure you know what you're pulling.
Lesson learned. Yeah.
Yes. Mm.
It is National Black Forest Cake Day.
Ooh.
I don't know what that is, but I want it right now. Mm-hmm. Let me see.
Dark chocolate.
Here. Yeah, you had me a dark chocolate. Schwarzwald. Okay, I'm going to try this just to help people, just to make people laugh, because I think you earned it, everybody. Our listeners earned it. Schwarzwalder Kirchhoffschachal. Kirchhoffschachal. Kirchtort.
There we go.
Kirchtort. You got to say Kirchtort. You got to say it like that. Kirchtort. It is a word that is perhaps beyond the reach of many people who have not studied German.
And whose names are James.
Yes. It's a rich word, world with a rich history, but perhaps a bit too exotic to describe a treat most of us are probably familiar with. And what a treat it is. Filled with rich layers, usually 4, of chocolate sponge cake. Marinated together with a flavored whipped cream. Delicious assortment of cherries. Then frosted and topped with more of the same. That's right. The treat in question is a Black Forest cake. And National Black Forest Day celebrates the most amazing and interesting treat.
Chocolate sponge cake. I can't say that I've really had too much of that. Usually sponge cake is white.
I need that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Like, how come we have this in-demand society? Where is it? I want it right now.
I'm going to say anybody who makes this cake, share the recipe on WFHR's Facebook page because I would love to do a kitchen open segment on this.
Yes, please.
I've never made it.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, really. Share your recipes. We'd love to have them.
We've been doing this National Day of thing for a very long time. I don't believe we've ever come across this one. I don't know how this has happened. The cake itself certainly has a long storied history, having first appeared in the Black Forest, which is what Schwarzwalder means, the Black Forest. Mm-hmm. That appeared in 1915, or at least that is the tale that was told by Joseph Keller until his death in 1981. Keller was the pastry chef who claimed to have invented the cake and has passed the recipe down through chefs in a cafe, Cafe Angner, that still exists today in Bad Godesberg.
Cool.
Other legends date the cake back a couple of centuries before the birth of Joseph Keller. The 16th century was when chocolate was first integrated into cakes and other baked goods, symbolizing a dark, mysterious ambiance that the forests were famous for. Ooh,
cool.
That's a nice, I like that. That's pretty interesting, huh? That is pretty cool. I really got to try that. That sounds so good.
Well, we'll just have to make it.
Mm-hmm. It is Respect Your Cat Day. Getting that the cats care if you do or not.
They kind of demand it.
They kind of, yeah. Whether you do or not, they're gonna demand it. Yes, cats are independent and curious creatures. Show them love by providing a safe environment, playtime, and respect their boundaries. They'll reward you with their unique personalities and affection.
Cats are awesome.
Like to take this moment to wish not only my oldest daughter Bria, but her newest family member, her cat Ruby. Good morning. Mm-hmm. I met Ruby last week. A very sweet cat. She looks like, other than her face has got a couple of different patterns to it, but her body looks like what you, if you were drawing a cat, what you would do, like you would draw. Like she looks like, just so, like a, like she walked out of a book. It's a very, very cute
perfect
cat.
Perfect cat shape.
So sweet. That's a very, very sweet animal. I've been around, I don't know what it is about animals, but they seem to like me, and cats really do. Dogs like most people, so I'm not too surprised by that one, but cats, I've never had a cat not like me.
Yeah, they can be impulsive, neurotic, and somewhat antisocial, so it just, you gotta...
So wait a minute.
Got the cat vibe.
Yeah, are you saying? Yeah, you're saying they see a kinship in me. Is that?
Did I say that in so many words? I've actually owned quite a few cats throughout my life, and that is how they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not saying that you are, James. The funny thing is that they can usually tell. Some cats can tell when people don't like them, and then. They pay them all the attention. Go and rub up against them. Want to lick your head kind of thing. Eat your hair.
It does seem like they know when people don't like them, and that's the person that they have to sit on. They won't go by you. They'll sit on you.
And then the owner's like, she never sits on anyone. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
That always yes, the owner always says that, yes. I had the first pet I ever really had, I had two rabbits growing up. But as far as an animal that I bought myself or anything like that, was actually a cat. My ex-wife and I, we had a zoo, and she just always was adopting animals and all this. We went up to the Humane Society in Point for her, and we were there, and she didn't, the animal that she went there for was not there, so we were going to leave, and it was all the way at the end of the last cage. And we were walking. I didn't think anything was in there. And all of a sudden, I see this paw go on the front of the cage, and it's got an extra toe.
Oh.
And, immediately caught my eye and everything. And I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if it's common knowledge, but one of my favorite, I liked reading, my grandfather had me read a lot of Ernest Hemingway growing up. And Ernest Hemingway was famous with six-toed cats. And so I saw this six-toed cat's first time I'd ever see one in real life. He was completely gray with some white stripes. His name was Hemingway.
Oh.
Hemingway thought he was a dog. I didn't know this.
So you got the best of both worlds.
I really did, yeah. I didn't know this until years later, but all his personality traits, the way he acted and everything, completely dog-like. I don't think he realized he was a cat.
Well, and if he was raised with dogs, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. We got him so young, and one of the greatest creatures I'll ever know. That animal was so awesome. Helped me a lot. A good animal. Appreciate your cats today, everybody.
Yes.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, have some more fun after Melissa's news right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Oh, okay. Now I know it. It took me a second.
I was going to say, are you firing Seth again?
Yeah, I did. I couldn't catch it right away. I'm like, should I know this? Like, oh, yeah, I guess. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Just a reminder, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off being joined by Nakusa Mayor Dan Carlson and Howard Freeman. Talk a little Nakusa walleye days with the gentleman. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. Right now, Melissa, what are some smells that drive you nuts, that drive you crazy? Everybody think about the smells that drive you crazy right now. Popular Science looked at Google Trends to figure out the five smells around the house that Americans hate the most.
You want me to give you my opinion?
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and give you these five, and then maybe this will stir some up for us and everything. Because I right off the top of my head, I can't think of any necessarily right out the gate, but let's go ahead. When a skunk sprayed outside you and you can smell it in your house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's obviously.
Yeah, that's got to be number one. That has to be. Mildew on your clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those ones. Not only does the smell bother me, but immediately I'm reminded of my mother telling me, Jimmy, don't throw your wet clothes in the laundry or don't throw them in the hamper. And I did. And yeah,
like, that's what happened.
I think it grew a forest in that hamper from that mildew, I think.
Oh, boy. Yeah, mildew in your house, it's not healthy.
Cigarette smoke on your clothes.
Yes, ick.
Now, I grew up, my mom and dad were both heavy smokers, and it drove me crazy. I hated that my clothes smelled like smoke in school, especially people thought I smoked, and I didn't. I hated cigarettes. Then I turned 21 and started going to the bars and everything, and all my friends did, and I started smoking. And I still hated the smell of smoke on me. I hated it on my breath, hated it on my fingers, all that. I don't think that that's too far-fetched. I think it's not. What is a little surprising to me is I don't know if, you know, in doing these lists in years past, we've ever seen cigarette smoke show up. I think we've gotten to that point.
So common.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've gotten to that point now where it's that uncommon.
It's becoming more taboo.
Just weird. Like, it's not. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I don't know. That wasn't one of those things I thought I'd ever see.
Well, they used to smoke in airplanes and doctor's offices, James.
Yeah, right?
It's hard to think of that now.
9 out of 10 doctors recommend Laramies. You know, yeah. It wasn't that long ago. It wasn't like only 20, 30 years ago, people. So it wasn't that long ago. No. Gasoline on your shoes.
Oh, yeah. That's icky.
Now, that's bad. Gasoline on your hands.
That's worse.
That's much to me. That is, it doesn't seem to want to come off. It gets on your gloves in the winter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's that gasoline in general. That the smell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much don't want it on anything.
Mm-hmm. And the final one on here, they say dog pee on the carpet. I would say any animal, and I would say any creature, because just pee in general. Just smells bad.
Where it's not supposed to be. Yes, yeah. That's gross.
Yeah.
I agree.
That is probably one of, I don't know, if you have, like, trigger smells, that would probably be my one.
Urine.
Growing up, some of the projects that we lived in, you walk into the high rise and you can smell it. Like, it just reeks of it. Homeless people will go in there and, you know, use it and stuff. And growing up around that. Little similar to violence. I've had enough. I've had enough of it in my life. I'm good. I don't need any more.
Agreed. I'm surprised that there's no food smells that made the list.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are some foods you can make where smells linger, like bacon. That's one that comes to mind for me. I don't like it. Like, it smells good when it's cooking, but after the fact, I don't want to smell it anymore.
Melissa, you had a good run with us. It was great knowing you. It really was. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed our time together. I really have.
you feel the same way about curry, so.
I was just going to say it, too.
And that's my favorite food.
And the only reason I didn't say it is because I found out it's your favorite food, and now I feel bad.
That's okay. It's a strong smell, and there are people that don't like it, so.
I will say, just a little look behind the curtain and everything. I've been over at Melissa's old apartment and everything when she's been cooking and stuff, and between you and Laura cooking it and stuff, being around you guys and everything, I think I've gotten a little over it. I think I've gotten a little past it. Yeah.
Now you've replaced the memories of that smell evokes for you.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, the last time I think I was around it didn't bother me nearly as much. I was so busy, I don't think I paid attention.
Wait, I can bring it to work now and microwave it in the break room?
I wouldn't. I don't know if we need to take it to that level. Speaking of that, though, fish. Fish is one of those ones.
Yeah, you don't microwave that at work.
No, and I've had somebody do that too. A radio station I worked at in California, a guy did that. Mm-hmm. It was a smaller building than we have even here, and it just for days it just reeked. Yeah.
That and burnt popcorn. If you burn a bag of popcorn, another good one. That is the awfulest smell.
That is. It's a another good
it's
one.
Raunchy.
That is. Blech. You can never think of these things in the moment. It's only until you actually smell them.
Right.
I guess if we think of any other ones, we'll let you know, everybody.
If you have any, let us know.
Yeah, feel free to. This is your show too, everyone. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about these shoes that were invented to walk backwards. I got to get into this. I got to talk about this one. Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. The morning show at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. We hope you're having a good one out there. Melissa and James here with you. I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me. And every step I take reminds me of just how we used to be. Well, how can I forget you, girl? And there is always something there to remind me. We hope you're having a good start to your day out there. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. Get some fun stuff lined up for you. I want to thank our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Big thank you to them. We are going to go lead you up to the top of the hour, where we'll get a CBS News update and catch you up on all that. After that, we will get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley going to most likely join us. Looking forward to that.
Good. He can tell us all the nice weather coming, right?
Yes. Yes. Here's hoping. Everybody cross your fingers. After we're done talking with Paul, Melissa and I are going to get into these 11 changes airlines would make according to an AI system.
Okay, according to AI.
We'll also have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, and a little bit later in the 8 o'clock hour, we got idioms.
We're going to give
you the origin stories of you are what you eat and, you know, cracking someone up and things like that. It's going to be fun. Three sheets to the wind. That was what started this. I heard somebody say that the other day, and I'm like, three sheets to the wind? What is it? Where did that come from? Yep, we're going to find out.
So you went down a rabbit hole.
Yes, I do. Yes, I did. Yeah, that's all coming up for you. Right now, if you saw someone walk down the street in these, you'd think it was a glitch in the Matrix. A fashion brand in New York invented a new shoe you can wear backwards.
Okay.
No matter which end you put your foot on, it's still functional footwear. If you wear them like normal, they're an open-toed sneaker. That alone is a little weird. If you wear them the other way, they're sandals, but it looks like you've got your shoes on backwards.
That's weird.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now, and they're orange, white, and black. So I do like the colors, I will say that. They're called the BWD shoe, short for backward, which I guess. It's from the brand Mischief. They're the same company selling big red boots that make you look like a cartoon character. So they specialize in kind of weird stuff.
Okay. All right, I had to look them up. These are ridiculous, James.
Yeah, yes.
Why would anybody wear this?
I'm not sure, especially
it
when
looks
they're
like there's two places you can put your foot into.
Yeah. Yeah. They're about $135 too.
Oofda.
Yeah, yeah.
No, thank you.
The only thing funnier to me than them is the price. If you think I'm spending $135 on that kind of thing, no.
No. Mm-mm. I want to see somebody walking in them.
Yes. I want to see if these, because it does seem like something that would be popular with kids.
Perhaps.
I could see little kids wearing these, or young kids, you know, right before you become a teenager or something like that. Especially, one of the things I've been thinking lately, that maybe they need to invent kid shoes that they can fit on both foot, the left or the right.
Well, because that's very common that the shoe doesn't go on the right foot.
Yeah.
And the response I always get, does it matter?
Yep, does it? Yep, thanks. Yes.
That's okay.
It's okay.
I'm fine with that.
It's okay. I don't know if, so I'm a little sensitive to this one. When I was little, my foot turned in, and I was supposed to get corrective shoes for it. I didn't want those. I had just moved to Wisconsin. I already stood out like a sore thumb. So I worked to get my foot straight. And did it with just practice and working at it every day and everything.
Paying attention to how you're walking.
I was told by somebody when I was young that happened because I always put my shoes on Charlie Chaplin style, which is what my papa would call it.
That's an ancient reference. So if you don't get it, putting on your shoe is the wrong way.
The wrong foot.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess that's one of those things. I don't worry about with kids, but I wonder about with kids. Mm-hmm. And then I see something like this, and I'm like, well, I don't know how much it would matter. You know, maybe that's one of the. I don't know, especially with how quickly children's feet grow. Don't spend $135 on a kid's pair of shoes, for the love of God. They're going to just grow out of them in 2 days.
Yeah, but not only that, how can this have good arch support?
Ooh, good point. I was worried about the ankle.
Your foot's going to go in it unless you then switch shoes to put them on the opposite. It doesn't make any sense to me, James. And then your toes are exposed no matter which way you put the shoes on.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Don't look that ridiculous in the picture without a foot in them.
Yeah.
But if you look at them with a foot in them, they look just dumb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do.
They look dumb. They look like, all right, is somebody else going to stick their foot in there? And then what kind of game are we going to play?
See, in movies, they do this all the time where they flash forward to the future and they show you future fashions. And it's always something really weird. The Fifth Element is perfect for this.
Or Back to the Future.
Yes, yes. That's what I think of. That's all I can think of these shoes would be good for, is a movie that's being filmed in the future.
Well, they did appear in the new video from Fall Out Boy.
Oh,
hold
did they?
Hold me like a grunge. Grudge? Mm. Hold me like a grudge.
Well, yeah, I guess that's good for them. I you know.
Oh, they were inspired by video game character Astro Boy.
Mm, interesting. I will say, if you are in a music band like Fall Out Boy, you could probably afford $135 shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd wear them too then. You know, if I could just go, if I could afford expensive shoes, I'd be walking around in Jordans probably. I wouldn't be. I don't know. This is one of the things when you, I hear other people talk about this too, that grow up poor and they end up having money. Most of the time that doesn't change. Like you become like you, even just because you've got thousands in the bank, you're not going to spend $135 on a pair of shoes because you wouldn't have done it when you were poor.
Right. Their tagline, did you find this, James?
No.
Life can only be understood backwards, but must be lived forwards.
Oh boy. I really hope they didn't pay too much for that one.
I mean, it is a true statement.
Oh, sure. It's a true statement. I mean, there's plenty of true statements out there.
I don't know if it says much about their shoes.
No, it doesn't. Does not make me want to buy their shoes for a second. Doesn't do any of that. I had an interesting one here, Melissa. These two videos go together. There's one of a woman who went viral saying she does not understand why men don't share personal details with each other. As an example, she talked about having lunch with two male friends who have known each other for years but didn't know that they were both from Connecticut.
Okay.
And one of them mentioned that he's engaged, but his buddy didn't even know that. The second video is a response from a guy who gives a good reason why men keep personal details to themselves. He says that from birth, the most noble thing a man can do is not to be a burden to other people. And since taking your talking deep subjects is work, a man would be putting a burden on a friend by bringing that stuff up. But discussing sports and video games is not a burden. So it's like, because I like you, I'm not going to burden you.
With where you grew up?
Yeah, that has I've done a lot of research on this, and there is a little bit of truth to what he's saying there.
And I agree with that.
There's also three, 4,000 years of evolution that has happened since those first days when men felt this way or did those things and stuff. We've had plenty of time to grow. Now, there is a lot of societal stuff when it comes to this. A man isn't supposed to cry. A man isn't supposed to do this and those things. So we have little young men, young boys growing up and seeing that, hearing that. How do you think they're going to, what do you think they're going to grow up as? That's how they're going to be. They're not going to share stuff. They're not going to, if their fathers weren't doing it, or their uncles or the people that they grew up around weren't, the chances of them doing it are very unlikely. I think that's probably going to change quite a bit with the younger generations coming up. They seem to be sharing a lot more.
Well, and there's a lot more talk about mental health and that therapy is healthy and good and everybody should go to therapy. That's my opinion. But just that there's more conversation about it, I think, is helping.
I've mentioned this before, and it was a long time ago, but it took me way too late in life, my late 30s, to realize. I always thought that the noble thing to do was to help others, but you don't burden people. You don't bother people with your own mess. You know, it's my business. I keep my business out of the streets. That's the noble thing to do. That's what I'm helping others. But I get a lot of joy out of helping people. It does a lot for me. It does a lot for my mental health. It does a lot for my well-being. I enjoy helping others. I was taking that away from other people. I was not giving other people that opportunity. And it's even to this day, it's hard for me too, but I'm getting better about it. But part of the reason that you let other people help you is for them. It feels good for them, and you don't want to take that from them. Sharing is the same thing. You know, when you share something, chances are the person that you're sharing it to, more times than not, does want to hear it.
Well, and the difficulty I think some people have with sharing that stuff is that you have to make yourself a little vulnerable. You have to open yourself up to, okay, are they going to judge me for the fact that I cry at sappy movies?
Yeah.
or that I found this very touching and I wanted to talk about it. Or that some tragedy happened in my past that this is now affecting me and our relationship and we need to talk about it. Those are things that open you up to judgment from another person.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you vulnerable, and it's a little scary.
I got to say, too, this lady's response on TikTok was so kind of, to me, it seemed a little bit over the top and a little bit much. It seemed like a little bit much to me. I don't think necessarily that it was necessary for her to go to as extreme as she did, like kind of ripping on men as a whole, and that what's wrong with us kind of thing. Most of the men that you're talking about are, in fact, all the men you're talking about, and any man that's listening to this right now, this is just what we grew up around. This is what we grew up with. I'm not saying that we deserve, it's an excuse as an necessarily. But the idea that this can just change overnight.
Right. You can't change that without some effort and without some putting in the work to say, oh, well, I recognize that I'm feeling this way because of my environment or society.
And on that, to piggyback on that last word you mentioned on the society part, on a society that's going to be accepting of this, her reaction was not very accepting of you know, the idea that this is difficult for men, that the idea that this is tough. I thought we were supposed to be a more sensitive society. I thought we were going to be more open to mental health. She's doing the exact opposite, if you ask me, by calling them out on this. Bringing attention to it is one thing. But she's calling out specific people. That to me, I think, is a little bit too close to the vest. I think that you want to bring this up in general. That's one thing, you know, and talking about it and even doing it in a jokingly way. She's kind of like more like angry and serious and targeting about it and everything.
That's
and
a little more like bullying.
Yes, exactly. And that brings me back to the whole, this person's bullying everybody. Let's get them. Like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
That doesn't make any sense.
Two wrongs don't make a right. How many times have we heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mom. My mom, she may not even be listening.
She's nodding her head.
But she nodded. Yes, she smiled and she nodded at that. I don't know how you make this better other than, I know with my son, I made sure that he understood that there is nothing weak about crying. You know, you want to choose your battles wisely. You don't want to cry over everything in life. But my God, this happens. And that is a reason it's okay to be vulnerable, you know, to look vulnerable in society. It's okay to look like you're hurt or something like that. That there is no weakness in that there is strength in it. I wish to God I could remember the verse, but I believe it's even in the Bible about the stiff weeds would break in the flood. Whereas a weed that looked weak and bendable would stay, would survive a flood, would survive the, you know, that kind of thing.
It can bend with the current.
Yes, yes. That is pretty much the analogy, the metaphor, whatever word you want to use, that I would talk to my kid and just people in general about.
I just know from personal experience, if I feel like I need to cry about something, and I don't let myself, it builds. And it builds, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and then it comes to a head, and I will break down over something tiny, inconsequential, you know, whatever it is, and that's when it comes out. But if you acknowledge, okay, I feel upset about this, let yourself feel upset about it. Have the moment. Feel the emotions. And then you can pick up and move on from it.
I have to say, I grew up around some pretty pretty rough characters, to put it as lightly as I can, and even they would cry. And I should say too, I do come from an Italian family. We're emotional about everything. There's no emotion that we can give that's light. That's at like a 5. Everything's at a 10, including, you know, laughing, crying, all that stuff. We will take a break right here. We'll come back after CBS News with a live update with our, from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, and plenty more coming up on The Morning Show with Melissa and James at WFHR, locally grown radio.